DDG episode 28. First one of May 2020. Yes, it is May. Somehow. In quarantine months.
Time is irrelevant.
Yeah. My name is Dave Hunt, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
How is it going? Seriously was using this to keep track of how long I've been in quarantine, but I've completely lost track of it because time is irrelevant.
Well, as a reference, my daughter's last day of school was on March 13th.
Okay, and I want to say I probably stopped going to work the following week after that, like probably like March 20th, maybe 27th.
So you so did not go to work for the entire month of April.
Correct. And it has been kind of great. I mean, I know there's horrible things happening outside the world, but it's been kind of great in terms of me not having to go to work. Now I'm just dreading work calling me back and being like, hey, we need you, buddy.
Yeah, it's just in general, like just things opening again. Like it's I'm all for it as long as it's done correctly and trying to figure things out. And just some of the stuff that I'm seeing lately, I have concerns. I understand the economic impact on the world and the country, and it needs to happen. But I have my concerns, and the data is showing my concerns to be valid.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I know the country needs to open up sooner rather than later, but it's not being done properly or with the proper precautions beforehand, and we are seeing all sorts of craziness because of it. But we'll get through this. Just keep saying that every week.
So, yeah, I know. My sound's acting funky. So, it's been more Monday nights lately, just due to scheduling and things that are going on. But we also recorded our first bonus episode for our Patreon early access subscribers. That is done, that is released, and it's on the Patreon feed for the $7 tier subscribers. So if you are there, then you have a bonus episode, and it may or may not show up a little bit later in the feeds, you know, if some things happen. But if you are interested in it, it has a heavy focus on retail stories of Michael and myself working in retail over the last couple of years. So that is the first topic of bonus content. If there are other suggestions you have for bonus content, we would love to hear them. Even if you're not in that tier, just as a suggestion of something that maybe you would like to hear eventually. Because I'm pretty sure that if you subscribe, even like 2 months down the road or 3 months down the road, you get access to that previous content anyways.
So yeah, you should. I think we have control if we wanted to prevent that from happening, but we're not going to prevent that from happening.
So, but other than that, we are on, like I mentioned, all the podcast services that most people use. If we're not on one, please let us know. We can add that. But all the social links that we have are in our show notes. If you can click on those and check those out, we'd appreciate it. Helping us on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and all that fun stuff. As well as reviewing and sharing the show. So just, you know, trying to get a little bit more exposure, show us to some more people, help us grow the community. Those are all things that you can do that are free, and that would be much appreciated. So, all right, we are going to kick it off to the news. I don't know what oof means, but...
Yeah, you know what, man? It's okay. So, a little follow-up to last week's news that The Last of Us Part II's ending, most of the script, some of the big moments was all leaked. Last week, a lot of outlets were reporting, and I think I may have pointed to some of those outlets as well, or those articles that said that the leak came from someone from Naughty Dog who would have been disgruntled. Sony came out to dispute that, and they said they are aware of who the people that leaked it are, or at least the primary individuals, and they wanted to assure people that the people that leaked this information were not affiliated with Naughty Dog or Sony Interactive Entertainment. They obviously can't comment any further on it because it's an ongoing investigation, and they look forward to The Last of Us being released on June 19th, which The Last of Us just went gold today, the day we're recording. So I guess this just like ends that speculation of the disgruntled Naughty Dog employee because that's kind of the story everyone went with, just because of all the controversy surrounding the work conditions in Naughty Dog. It almost made sense for it to be a disgruntled employee, but it turns out that is not true, though it does lead other questions to how did this person or group of people get access to this content. Maybe it was a hack. Maybe it was many of the, or probably dozens of outsourcing companies that Naughty Dog and Sony work with for completing the game. But yeah. Dave, any thoughts on this info?
I mean, we talked about, you know, months ago when like a lot of this work from home stuff was happening, that there was always this possibility of something like this happening. Unfortunately, it happened. Excuse me. Unfortunately, it happened with The Last of Us Part 2 versus, you know, maybe something not as big of a deal. I thought we'd see more leaks around game announcements than I would about, like, I didn't expect the game to be spoiled or an ending cutscene or anything like that to happen. But, I mean, it is what it is. Please just be careful on pretty much anything you click on that's involving The Last of Us right now.
Or Sony.
Yeah, just be very, very careful. If you don't know how to mute certain words on social media, you should look into that just to make your life a little easier, especially if you're a very much somebody that gets very annoyed with spoilers. Me, not as much. Like, they don't bother me. I'll watch like leaked content videos and stuff like that just to kind of see, like, one, to see sometimes how just asinine and ridiculous these leaks sound. And then two, just out of sheer curiosity, you know, or to see if it's valid for conversational purposes. But like, yeah, I've done pretty, like, all in all, like, I feel like I've done pretty well. Like, I haven't had Spider-Man spoiled for me on purpose or on accident. I haven't had Zelda's, anything that's happening in Breath of the Wild spoiled for me. Horizon, even, like, I don't really know. Like, I've heard little small tidbits, but there could still be something that happens in that story if I ever get off my lazy butt and play that game again, to that, you know, that I've been able to be protected. So, but yeah, it is a little surprising that it's not, it wasn't a current or former employee. So then it's like, okay, well, how did said person get hands on said content?
I almost feel like Sony would probably be doing themselves a favor to just kind of, if it wasn't a breach, like someone didn't like break into their servers or something, to just kind of say what happened, just because I think the speculation of someone making a breach into their network is probably scarier than if they just said, hey, we outsourced and someone in the outsourcing company.
Yeah, I disagree. Messed up. If they say someone breached their network, that sounds like PSA.
No. That's what I'm saying. If it's not a breach of a network, oh, okay, just come out and say what happened. If it was a breach of the network, completely understand them not saying it. Because they have a lot of other studios that would probably be like, don't let that information out.
Right.
Because it is kind of scary. You know, Sony has had problems before with breaches and network stability.
But I also think there's a lot of hands like that move, like in marketing companies. So there's a lot more that's involved in that than, you know, the publisher. I mean, Sony's obviously the publisher, but they still use third-party services for marketing and advertisement and maybe planned events that didn't end up being planned, but the timetable stuff still went out somehow, just in case something got better.
Yeah.
You know? There could be hundreds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope it is like a third party they were working with or an outsourcing company that they were working with, and that's how this information got out. It's kind of scary when you find out it wasn't someone on the inside, then it's just like, okay, how did the person on the outside get it?
Yeah.
And it'd probably... It'd be good if they can, like, kind of say what happened here, but obviously a corporation is not going to admit fault at any of this sort of thing right now. It's just, we'll see what happens. The game went gold, so we're only a month out from it releasing, so we won't have to wait too long. I've stayed away mostly from the spoilers. I did have a couple, like, out of context, like, things pop up in Twitter and Facebook, but luckily I'm just not reading comments on anything related to PlayStation. I think the last thing I read was just all the PlayStation fans mad at the May PlayStation Plus games. And even then it started to like derail into people talking about The Last of Us. So I just like pulled off the comments section of that.
I try not to read comment sections in general anyways.
I try not to, but the May PS Plus thing was so hilarious that I had to read the comments on that. Just
well, and that's kind of like what I'm talking about, though. Like, some of these leaks that have, like, where an expectation, that's the biggest problem with leaks, is where an expectation is set, and it's probably set too high, and then the reality hits, and people are like, what the heck? And it's like, what? The source that you had before wasn't valid. You can't be mad. It's like, oh, the next-gen consoles are delayed. No, they're not. They haven't been dated.
Yeah, it can't be a delay if there's not a date. And like with the PS Plus thing, like that's where I'm starting to see like more people complain. And then if you go into those threads, you get people that are like taking vengeance by spoiling The Last of Us. And it's just most of the people were upset about the May PS Plus stuff is because every website ran with a fake PS Plus lineup for May. And everyone got excited, and now they're pissed, and now they're looking for vengeance in any way possible. I don't know. It's crazy. Just stay off the internet. The internet's really aggravating right now. Just use it to download our show, and that's it.
Just get an app that auto-downloads for us, but if you subscribe, it just happens automatically. Just saying.
Yeah. At least you, if you don't have auto-downloads turned on, turn them on.
Just for us.
All right. Well, yeah, just for us. All right, moving on to the next story. The next Assassin's Creed game was revealed, and it is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And it is going to take place in 9th century England, which is the Viking Age. So we're going to get some Vikings and probably some Norse mythology, which is kind of funny, though, because it seems like every game the last couple years is like, I don't know, like Norse mythology is kind of turned into the new zombie. In terms of all the games that are like pulling from that.
Yeah.
But a cinematic trailer was revealed for that. There's going to be gameplay, I believe, this week during the Xbox press conference or whatever Microsoft is doing.
Yeah, Series X reveal, gameplay reveal or something.
Yeah, which is a thing that you've been wanting to see is like games running on a new hardware.
That and a game on the new hardware. Yeah.
Yeah. And
because even this one is PS4 and PS5. It's current and next gen.
Yeah, this is current and next gen, and it is coming holiday 2020, which I saw some people speculating, like, is that holiday release date feasible? And they took a year off, so it is probably very feasible.
Yeah, I mean, Assassin's Creed is pretty much a franchise that has to come out in the holiday timeframe, like, because just in terms of in order for it to carry enough weight for sales and expectations of whatever we're up to now, like 11 or 12 games in the series. And then there's also been speculation, people are like, well, they're not dating it because it's going to reveal the next-gen console dates. No, it's not, because it'll be a part of what Xbox is calling smart delivery of if you buy it on the current gen, or if you buy it on Xbox One, it'll work on Series X automatically.
Yeah.
So they don't care when the game comes out because it's just going to work.
Yeah, and if Sony makes it this holiday, good. If it doesn't, it'll be available when the Sony console comes out, but they'll still hit the PS4 and Xbox One days, no problem.
And I fully expect Xbox is calling it smart delivery. Sony's going to call it something else, but they're going to do the same thing. Like, they can't.
They
cannot.
They have to.
They can't not do it.
And they can't charge a fee like the publishers were doing last gen or this gen. They're going to have to do smart delivery, the equivalent of smart delivery, for free, just because the competition's doing it.
So a little bit more of the details that have come out around that game. They did like a Twitch stream, Twitch and YouTube stream for like the entire day before, showing
Boss
it was
Logic.
Like an 8.5. Yeah. You know, showing a lot of visual art, which was really cool, and getting people speculating and guessing. And then they showed the trailer, and then they've confirmed that you can have a male or a female character, which is great. And I think they said it won't have any co-op.
No, I think it's going to be like the last game where it's just...
And I also feel like they've also come out and said that you can beeline the story a little bit better in this one than you have been able to do in the previous ones. And that was kind of my problem with the other ones, is that they looked really cool, but then it got to a certain point in time where it got like too much, like with the world, like Odyssey was so big.
Yeah, no, that's what kept me away from Odyssey when I was hearing people put 60, 70 hours in the game and they were maybe halfway through or some crazy number in terms of getting everything done in that game.
Well, I'm not even a completionist style person, but anytime the story, like a story based narrative game, which what I still consider Assassin's Creed games to be, if you're getting up in the 25 plus hours, like that's a lot.
Yeah, no, like I'm at the point. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm 30. A 30 hour story just sounds miserable to me. Like I don't know why. Where it's just like I just can't put that much time. And then when you're going for this type of game where it's like 30 plus hours just for the story, and then if you add all the side content in the game, I can't deal with that anymore.
Yeah. And I'm all for like these games being large and having plenty of things to do and engaging the player base, but at a certain point in time there needs to be a little bit of the more of the focus on the story, because that's what a lot of the Assassin's Creed have always been focusing on, was, you know, the American Revolution or the, you know, the different eras, the pirate era that they did, like, and that was the focus of it, not this massive RPG that you can, you know, grind through and play.
Yeah. What I kind of found interesting though, I don't think there was any mention of Stadia.
Yeah, right. It always seems to be like with Ubisoft later, like in another month.
Yeah, which maybe that's why they didn't announce it, is it'll just be eventually. But Ubisoft tends to be hot on whatever new platform is available. But it's weird to see them lose interest in it already, because Stadia had a Kinect a couple days before this happened. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure if they had anything to do with Assassin's Creed, they probably would have made a deal to get it shown during their Kinect, which was like very boring. Like their Kinect was kind of sad. But it's just, it's weird seeing, you know, it not on Stadia, though. I doubt, did Ghost Recon eventually come to Stadia?
Ghost Recon I don't think has, but The Division 2 is on Stadia. No, Ghost Recon is on Stadia. I'm sorry. It is.
Yeah. But that cool multiplayer, multiple screen thing, I don't think came with it. Like it was.
I don't remember what that is, unfortunately.
Yeah, because I remember when they were showing Ghost Recon, they're like, "Oh, you can have multiple parts of your screen dedicated to the point of view of your co-op partner."
That sounds stupid.
Like picture in picture. Yeah, but I don't know if it actually launched, but there's a lot of things.
I've been seriously looking at Stadia, like, personally, just because, mm-hmm. like, having something to play, like, in the living room, or, like, them bringing Monopoly to Stadia is kind of what sparked a little bit of the interest for me. But it just seems like I look at things and I like, fall down a YouTube hole of, like, looking at compatibility. I think I was even texting you a couple questions about it this week, and I like the latency and the lag still seems to be a concern, or it always seems to run phenomenally well on their hardware, like on the Chromecast Ultra with the Stadia controller. And it's like, okay, like I get it, like that's great that it works phenomenally on that hardware, but that's not one of the marketing things that you put out.
It's so weird. Like, I tried running Stadia off my... Like, I have a really cheap Chromebook that I bought just to, like, take on flights that if I got beat up, I didn't care about. And Stadia runs like shit on that. For whatever reason, the internet connection on, like, a cheap Chromebook just isn't good enough or consistent enough, which is just odd. But then that kind of killed me playing Stadia just because I don't, like... I can tell the difference... when I play Stadia on my gaming PC, that it has good internet, you know, hardwired, and I see the difference. And, you know, like from like a game I was playing that was on my PC versus a game I'm streaming through Stadia, to where it's just not worth it to me unless I can play it anywhere, which anywhere for me would be on my TV. But I don't want to get a Ultra Chromecast or a Stadia controller.
And you have to have a Stadia controller.
Yeah, just for the Bluetooth stuff. And I know I can technically, like, force my current Chromecast to connect to my phone, and then I can, like, stream it to my phone, but the input lag when you do it that way, it's real bad.
That's the other part that was like always interesting to me. Like, and that's what I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the phone. Like, and again, like most of you may or may not roll your eyes, but it would be like really cool for me to just be able to pick up Destiny whenever I want. Like if I'm upstairs on the couch, you know, talking, you know, to my wife or talking to my kids or whatever, and just jump on and grab, you know, bounties or run a Crucible match, or even get the adapter with my, you know, Xbox controller and the phone clip and clip my phone onto the controller and just play, like watching TV, watching, you know, sports that's not happening right now, but just to be able to play a game like Destiny on my on the controller on my phone. Or even, God forbid, if I ever had a good enough Wi-Fi connection at work, like that would be fascinating. Or even my 5G connection, to be able to pick it up and play that, like that's the part that's like really intriguing and cool. And it seems like, at least what I've seen so far, is that xCloud's going to just destroy it.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm an xCloud user, and it's great. The only thing that I wish is I can easily put xCloud on my TV, and then I would be happy.
Yeah. Which I think is coming.
I think so too. Yeah, because I can force screencast my phone to the TV, but there's an input lag with it. My Pixel, I would have to do some extra. I would have to order some extra cables to like trick it into letting me output to my TV as well.
Yeah, and you have a direct Google device.
Yeah. But there's still like issues where I can't get it going, even if I get, you know, like a straight up USB-C to HDMI. Cable, it won't work because it's like locked down on a Pixel 3. But there's like, I have more confidence in xCloud putting the work in, and also the xCloud works with my DualShock pretty easily. You know, it doesn't do the cool thing Stadia does, where it just changes all the button prompts to what controller you're using, which is something I love about Stadia. Like, it knows I'm using a PlayStation controller, and it changes all the button prompts to PlayStation. But xCloud has a better library, and it seems to work significantly better. I know xCloud's in beta right now, so it's hard to like actually compare them. We don't know what like the... We know when xCloud does come out, it'll have like Games Pass integrated into it, which is great. And then I'm guessing that would be your main subscription service for it. It'll probably be a premium and then individual prices, but like Stadia just doesn't really have it for me right now. Like, doesn't... Like, I have the 2 free months of Pro... And it's just like, okay, I got Battlegrounds on it, but is that how I'm going to want to play Battlegrounds? No, and I don't even know if this Battlegrounds is cross-platform play. Destiny isn't, so I'm assuming this one isn't either, so I doubt there's 100 people I can fit into a Battlegrounds game on Stadia.
Well, the funny part is there's been a huge influx even in some Destiny players playing Stadia, and they're playing it for the competitive PvP mode because you can't cheat as easily and DDoS as easily on Stadia as you can on PC.
That's funny. So that's where the pros go.
Well, that's where some of the people that are going that are trying to enjoy a better experience.
Mm.
So,
but then they have to probably like set up gaming nights just so they can have a full server.
Yeah.
Or a consistently full server.
Yeah. Or I don't know how long the matchmaking times are. I keep meaning to just even. Because, like, Destiny, like, for me to test Stadia and to test the validity of Stadia, like, Destiny is a great game because of the amount of time that I've spent with it to say, hey, like, this works or this doesn't work. Because, like, in a shooter, you can tell if it works or doesn't work, like, right away.
Mm-hmm.
Some other games sometimes can get away with it. Like, I don't, like, if I haven't seen a lot of side-scrolling platform games on there, and I think there's a reason for that. Because those are very precise.
Yeah, it depends on the... how they control. Like, I've played one or two of them on there, and it works well enough. I tried playing a fighting game online, that didn't work that great. That was a bad experience. But yeah, I don't know, we got into a Stadia tangent. Yeah. But yeah, Assassin's Creed Valhalla coming to every platform but Stadia, or at least according to the stuff I've seen.
If it's a 50% version of like Odyssey. And as long as those things are optional and they truly feel optional, if it's this big open world, but as long as it feels optional, if I'm enjoying the gameplay and I'm really having fun and getting into the system and getting into the combat and I want to go do all this other stuff, cool. But if I can kind of like focus on the story and play the story and not feel like I'm not like correct level and I don't have the right, you know, like armor or, you know, like those things, like then I'm in. But if it's one of those things where you have to like, oh, you're really, your better experience is going to happen if you do mission 7, but then do side mission 7.1, 2, 4, 8, and 9 before you do mission 8, I'm out.
It's probably going to be that, still be that, which is probably why I've tapped out of Assassin's Creed games for a long time. I always say this is going to be the next one I get into, but yeah, maybe I'll give Origins a shot one day. Like, I'm going to be a couple years before I play Valhalla, unless I have to play Valhalla. But yeah, all right, let's get into our favorite subject, which is video games and COVID-19. All right, so the first story, this is all kind of related, the next like three stories. Evo 2020, surprise, they're not gonna hold their fighting tournament
blasphemy.
This summer. Even though the Vegas mayor wants to be a test bed for all this stuff, Evo will not take place in Vegas from July to August, July 31st to August 2nd. They are gonna actually replace it with an online tournament, which makes sense. A lot of the competitive leagues are going to do this. Fighting games going online, though, that
scary.
Is... yes.
Especially for lots of money online. Like, lots of money on the line.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of fighting games, their netcode is trash. Like, they try. Like, even the best circumstances, the netcode is, like, okay. Specifically, one of the big Evo games is always Smash Brothers, but the Smash Brothers, notoriously, the online is trash. And Nintendo never really seems like they kind of care enough to put the effort into making it the best online experience.
Well, there was enough problem locally with Smash where they, like, the Smash fighting, competitive fighting community essentially forced Nintendo to make those GameCube controller adapters.
Yes, the Smash... The Smash Brothers competitive scene are very finicky and want things a very specific way. But one thing that, because I know a couple of competitive Smash players that like go to Evo and who play Smash regularly, and they hate the online experience. But that's the only way that they can, you know, like train is by playing online when they don't have local competition to compete against. And none of the people I know that play Smash Brothers regularly are happy with the online system. So it's going to be weird because Smash Brothers online sucks and Evo is going to go all online. Street Fighter, it's been like kind of choppy, their online experience. Like sometimes it sounds like it's good, but then another patch kind of breaks it. There's a ton of fighting games, and there are a lot of them that either don't have good enough netcode or their netcode is just, you know, in the best conditions, it's not very good. So Evo's gonna be interesting to see that go down, and I'm wondering if there will be some games cut from this year's Evo tournament just because the netcode just isn't.
Did they say anything? Yeah. Did they say anything about like requirements for connections, like minimum speeds?
No. Like they just said more information is coming soon, and Evo is an international tournament, so I'm wondering how that's going to play a part in it. Of just like, okay, you know, are we going to want, you know, the best person from England?
Everybody
to go
on
against...
Stadia.
Yeah. This would be actually a good idea for Stadia to. Just add more lag to it, but this does show them how tough their stuff is. But how they're going to organize this tournament is, I don't understand how they would do this and like call it a successful year, or but I guess just having anything for the tournament this year is a success.
Yeah.
But probably won't be on ESPN, even though ESPN's hungry for content right now. Maybe this isn't the year you put Evo on ESPN or ESPN2, because then they'll have to explain like, the frame rate took shit because someone's like family member went online during that fight and killed the internet.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be crazy. That'd suck.
Yeah, I want to see what this means for Evo. would it be crazy if they still like fly people to like a location and have them still fight online?
Have a, but it's have like a land party. Land? Have a land party in a Las Vegas resort of all these cables just running from hotel room to hotel room.
Yeah, like just run the cable through the balcony. Anybody.
Just everybody's in their room.
But maybe this is a thing that they consider of just, okay, we'll have the tournament online, but then when we get down to like the top eight, we'll just then fly those people to a undisclosed location so they can have an uninterrupted match and still be under the restrictions of like how many people can be in a building at the same time. Though that might be a little too costly for Evo. But if they want to put it on TV, they might have to consider that.
Yeah.
Or do regionals a little more, where you just cut down on the internet lag by just North American champion versus Korean champion versus, you know, like UK champion. So that's one thing being changed due to the current circumstances of the world. The next is Nintendo are not going to hold a Nintendo Direct in June. They previously planned to, because, you know, E3 was going to happen. But after E3 was canceled, they said that they were still looking to hold one in June. But they came out and said they won't be having one just because they had issues with, like, work from home orders and then just trying to get a good Direct, a June Nintendo Direct, which has been their big Directs the last couple years, just didn't seem possible for them. So, no June Nintendo Direct, which would be their big one. Maybe one later in the summer is some of the speculation I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, just to give a little perspective, that for them to release something in June, they pretty much need to be done with it now.
Yes.
So, and that's where the challenge is coming from of, like, especially that part of the country where Nintendo's based out of, or world where Nintendo's based out of, got hit earlier than we did, so that they're maybe just coming out of it now. So seeing the possibility of maybe something in September, I think, might be a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, because it seems like every, like, E3 was going to have their digital event. They canceled that. Gamescom is having a digital event. Maybe Tokyo Game Show has a digital event. Nintendo, like, hops on that. But no Nintendo Direct. And then we'll just roll into the next story. Again, these are all kind of connected together. EA said they are still going to have EA Play Live 2020. And that is dated for Thursday, June 11th. And obviously it's going to be a completely digital event. So EA will have game announcements and some sort of presentation going on for June, which would have been during E3. It's only going to be one day, though. Usually EA plays are couple day events. This one will just be a single day event. No idea how it's going to be formatted. We just know it is going to be 4 p.m. Pacific time on June 11th. Okay. Before I get Dave's input on that, I'm just going to hop into the other story because this is connected to it. Jeff Keighley announced last week the Summer Game Fest, and this is going to kind of almost be the E3 replacement. And it is a summer-long event from May until August, where Keighley has partnered with a bunch of companies, and they are going to potentially hold weekly video game-related events, or digital events. And he's partnered with 2K, Activision, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Blizzard, Bungie, CD Projekt Red, Digital Extremes, Electronic Arts, Microsoft, Sony, Square Enix, Private Division, Riot Games, Steam, and Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. And this several-month event from May to August will include presentations, world premieres, trailers, and demos. And it will, again, be scattered throughout that entire time. Dave, how do you feel about the Summer Game Fest? being a multi-month thing.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I mean, we talked about this before of like things, people not feeling maybe as stressed to put something in the middle of June when E3 is going on, or to be part of that conversation and to maybe know a little bit better of like, hey, like maybe, you know, if Keeley's coming to them or Keeley's people are coming to take Bungie as an example, coming to Bungie and saying, we want you to reveal whatever you're going to do for Destiny or, you know, whatever else you're working on. They're like, okay, well, we'll be ready by middle of August. You know, it kind of gives a little bit more time frame versus like the stress of like, got to hit the day, got to hit June 12th or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I really like the idea of spreading it out over several months, just because you mentioned like it relieves stress. But also, as much as I love E3, I always thought it was too clustered of a week, because you just have like from Saturday to Thursday, you have a bunch of announcements. There have been plenty of times where me and Dave will watch like a press conference in the morning and we kind of forgot what we saw in the morning by the time we get to like 6 o'clock at night. And right. We have to like refer to notes just to like be like, oh yeah, that totally happened. And spreading it out seems like a good idea.
It gives you like 48 hours of media domination.
Yeah.
You know.
And Keeley partnering with all these companies means there must be some sort of like gentleman's agreement of just, here's your window, Warner Brothers, here is your week. All the news attention will be on, you know, you, and then next week Activision will go. And it almost feels like they're fixing the system in terms of like press coverage, because all the people that agreed to this are not going to be competing with each other. It is weird. Nintendo, I didn't partner with this program, but it sounds like maybe if they did have a June Nintendo Direct, maybe they would be a part of this, because Sony and Microsoft are agreed to do the Summerfest, which means we'll probably get the PlayStation 5 reveal as part of this.
Does he have any kind of schedule in there?
No, not yet. I just know the Microsoft gameplay thing happening this week seems like it's kind of like the kickoff for that event.
Now, does this mean that he's going to have like a pre, like Keeley's going to have a pre-show before all of these events?
I don't know that they haven't been clear about that. It would be great if he did and just have Keeley and other like media talk games journalists talking heads do a pre and post game show.
I'm just more excited to hear like, okay, Warner Brothers is going to go on June 28th. Like, okay. And then it gives us a chance to talk about it from Digital Day's standpoint of like, what do we think we're going to see next week from Warner Brothers? Or is Bungie going to show more Destiny stuff? Or are they going to show their new game? Like, what does Activision have? Is this when we see the new Call of Duty? Or is this when we see the next Sekiro? Like, that's the part that's like super fascinating to me, because people are seeing like Warner Brothers on there and they're already going like, oh, this is their new Rocksteady. Like, no, this could just be Skywalker Saga still. Like,
I'm really excited for Warner Brothers though. Because the Harry Potter RPG, that was leaked like 2 years ago, and then it kind of just disappeared. Then they obviously have Rocksteady, unless Rocksteady's working on the Harry Potter thing, which would be just fucking weird and insane. But there was reports, you know, that Warner Brothers this year were going to hold a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And that got kind of taken away from them. So, you know, once, you know, we get a full schedule listed and Warner Brother can mark a day, I can't wait to see like how stuff is spread out.
Yeah.
I
think I'll be a little bit more excited when I see something more concrete than just a bunch of logos on an image.
Yeah, totally. And just, you know, like, I want to know, like, I want the full schedule. I want there to be like a Sony day, you know, that will say definitively like PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want a day of these companies talking about their consoles, and then I want a day of them talking about their third-party games, and then I want a day of them talking about their exclusives. I don't want this stuff shoved into 1 hour press conference of, here's the console, here's like these really cool games that we're showing, and here's something we might be doing later.
That's why I'm hoping, because the Summer Game Fest is like this huge window, I'm hoping that we get stuff spread out a little bit more in terms of, you know, you kind of give everybody a week. Give Warner Brother a week to where they're like, hey, here's the Rocksteady game on Monday. Tuesday, is this, the Rocksteady game, Harry Potter. And, you know, Sony gets like a whole week where it's like, hey, Monday, here's what's currently coming out to the PS4 this summer. And then Tuesday, here's the PS5 stuff. And then they break down features throughout the week. And I'm kind of hoping it like sparks some competitive nature in some of these companies in terms of like, hey, we want to have the best week with our announcements, because all the other announcements are going to get locked into specific times. And then I'm sure most of the stuff will end up getting leaked before and then mess up this entire thing.
Doesn't happen. Because I don't want to know everything that's going to be there before we watch it. Like, that'll just drive me nuts.
I know. I'm going to be so bummed when they're like, oh, hey, in July, here's everything that Activision was going to announce, and it's May 10th.
Yeah.
And then we have to wait a month because they all agreed to specific days. I'm interested to see how they're going to do demos. He already came out and said, like, don't expect a Cyberpunk 2077 demo and a Halo Infinite demo. It's not how that's going to work. But I'm hoping, because one of my favorite things about, you know, going to these conventions like PAX, E3, is playing indie games, because a lot of those indie games you need to get hands on. And it would help Devolver and other indie developers or publishers a lot if they just like, hey, here's the demos we're going to show just on Steam for you to download. And I hope, because Microsoft and Sony are involved, they'll have those demos on the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store.
Yeah, even if it's just like a 5-minute play, your ability to play like Fallout Guys for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, and just, you know, be very clear with the demo, like how long of an experience it's going to be. Because we don't need crazy long demos for a lot of, you know, like smaller games. But I'm excited for this concept, because there's a lot of people on here that, like Riot Games, they announced so many League of Legends lore-based games over the last like year or so. So they could definitely fill a week. Warner Brothers can fill a week. Microsoft, Sony, you know, EA. There's a lot. Like Bandai Namco had a ton of games released last year and this year. So I'm excited to see how this rolls out, and I just hope nothing leaks. But that is it for the news, unless you had anything else on top of the Games Fest.
I mean, I haven't really been digging around too much like you have, trying to find more news. I mean, I'm just, in a couple days we'll have that Xbox event, which I'm just really excited, because I just want to see something new and something different, and it'll make our show next week like great. I'm so fatigued right now. I just need something to give me some kind of jolt. And it kind of started the other day when like the Assassin's Creed was revealed and the Xbox event was revealed like on the same day. And then the game event came up like within a 30 to 36 hour time span, and it was kind of like getting the juices flowing. And then it just like, again, a chance that for another company to be like, okay, well, like people were online, they were talking about this stuff, and like I feel like it was a missed opportunity for other companies to even announce like, hey, like on the heels of Xbox's reveal, like we're gonna be there. Like the only people that really said that were Assassin's Creed. Like, I feel like there's so many missed opportunities, and I feel like these developers and publishers don't know how to take advantage of what's going on right now, and it's so frustrating. It's just frustrating because people are at home. Like, you can take the, you know, like small things like the NFL draft getting 55 million people to watch it, the Last Dance documentary having all these people watching it. These numbers are crazy. If and when any sport figures out how to get their players together and puts it on television, the numbers are going to skyrocket. ESPN is going to broadcast Korean baseball, and I guarantee you it's going to draw much more numbers than anybody expects it to, because it's a live sporting event, and these developers and publishers aren't taking advantage of the opportunity that they're given to control this landscape.
What I think doesn't help is because we're in between generations. It's where I'm sure there's a ton of games that they want to show off, but they signed a contract with Sony that, you know, hey, we're going to be showing this game exclusively on a PS5, and then now they're just waiting for Sony to say, here's the PS5, and...
I just don't get why anybody's waiting right now. Like, yeah, okay, maybe now the Games Fest thing is, like, something, but you just, like, if you're not involved in that Game Fest thing now, like, you need to get in front of this.
You need to mark a day on the calendar, like, right now.
Like, you need and to hope be Game before Fest this doesn't... starts. Like, you need to find out when they're starting this, and then you need to be in front of it. Because if you're not in front of it, you're going to get just buried. If you're trying to release on, like, Wednesday at noon and a Games Fest event is at Wednesday at 3 p.m., like, you're getting crushed.
Yeah, especially if Game Fest hasn't released their schedule yet. So it could easily be, like, you know, Nintendo isn't part of this deal. And Nintendo's like, oh, we're going to take June 15th, and then... Game Fest is like, hey, actually, we have that day. We just didn't announce it yet. You know, like, not that they would do that to Nintendo, but if you're a smaller publisher or developer and you're not a part of Games Fest, you kind of want to mark your territory now and get out in front of it.
Yeah.
Just to be safe. Or sign up for it and then get put in that schedule whenever that gets released. But I'm sure there's a lot of developers and publishers that are just kind of, they want to show stuff, but they... or waiting for Microsoft, which will be this week, and then if they sign an exclusivity deal for, like, reveals with PlayStation, they're waiting for Sony. And I don't understand why Sony... I'm hoping Sony, on Thursday, after the Xbox reveal stuff happens, puts out a tweet saying, next Thursday.
Yeah.
And that's all they need to do. And then we go from there. But I don't know if they will do that.
Because even Microsoft's holding it close to their chest as well, because they're just like, they're setting expectations of, like, this is third party only.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Like, I'm happy that they set that expectation so that when I watch this thing at the end of it, I'm not going to be like, what the hell? You know, like, I'm happy they set expectations. But if Sony comes out and reveals another event, like, and hypes another event like they did the Mark Cerny talk, and it's not up to what they were portraying, they're gonna keep continuing to get smashed right now. Like, they, like, I just don't understand why they're just allowing Microsoft to have the market share right now, and they're just staying there being quiet. And the only thing I can hope is that they've got some freaking, like, massive uppercut, like, they're gonna do to somebody, and, like, there's something that hasn't been leaked. But if they had anything that big, there would be little small innuendos or hints around it right now. There's no way they can keep it that quiet right now.
The only thing that's working for them is that they've gotten the fan base so hungry for news that, like, when they show the controller, it destroyed the Xbox in terms of, like, engagement online, to where, like, they're doing well in terms of, like, getting people hungry. But there's only so many times they can play that card of, like, trickling stuff. And because even then, they're not even trickling stuff at this point.
We're in May. We're in May now. We're getting closer and closer to my day of, like, when, like you've got to say something. We know E3 is not happening now, so you're not forced to that timetable. Like, you've got to say something. But even if it's an announcement of when they're going, you know, I don't even care at this point in time if you come out and say July 2nd. But you got to say something.
I know, and that's what I'm hoping they do. Like, we know they're part of Games Fest because the Sony logo or the PlayStation logo is in, like, the website for Game Fest. But it's just like, please just mark a date so then people can calm down and show us something. Because at this point, like, it's just taking too long. They're dominating in terms of, like, when they show something, but even then, that hype dies down really fast. And
It also scares people, though, when Microsoft's coming out and saying, we're doing this for the consumer. We're doing this for the consumer with Game Pass. We're doing this for you with smart delivery. We're doing this for you with how, like, the you want to see games on it. We're gonna show games to you. And then Sony's just sitting there, like, mouth zipped shut, like, and zipped and stitched and stapled all together. And I'm like, how? Why?
Yeah. And I worked in retail in, like, you know, like, the video game department, and I know how much, like, word of mouth will solidify and not move.
It destroyed, you know? Xbox at the launch of last gen. It destroyed them because their word, even when they changed it, their presentation, they shot themselves in the foot at E3 that year. It was over that day, that week.
And the silence on Sony's part is going to be damning in terms of word of mouth that they're going to have to correct and fix over time.
Yeah, and unless they break the Hoover Dam at their event.
Yes, they have to hit a grand slam. We're just going to keep throwing metaphors. They have to throw a grand slam. You know, they have to hit a grand slam or else it's just not going to matter. And then people are already going to be like, well, I'm going to get the smart delivery or, you know, like, I know what Game Pass is going to do and I know all this stuff. And all that stuff is like, you know, working in Microsoft's favor and they're getting the good word of mouth and they're very consumer friendly, or at least they sound like it. And Sony silence is just like, I hope they're consumer friendly. They probably will be. But at this point, word of mouth is Microsoft is going to be the consumer friendly company. It's going to hurt them if they wait too long, especially now that we're going to see third-party games running on the Xbox Series X, you know, in a couple days. Or by the time you're listening to the podcast version of this, today.
Yeah. Who knows? You know what? Maybe you're home, I'm home that day. Maybe we'll do something cool that day.
Yeah, we can definitely try and do something.
All right, what else you got? Or is that it?
That is it for news. Okay. Because I'm hoping the Microsoft stuff is good this week.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to move on to playing and watching. And for me, it's pretty much only watching because for whatever reason, I've been very, very fatigued. Somebody actually made a comment on one of my social media posts that actually kind of resonated with me a little bit. Maybe I'm having a little bit of survivor's remorse or survivor's guilt of I'm doing okay during this pandemic or whatever you want to call it, during COVID. My entire family is fine. Everybody's home. I'm spending more time with all three of my kids. I have three, not mostly my older kids. I know Owen's always going to be around for right now, but I'm spending more time with my kids and my wife than I probably ever have in long time. I'm making more money than I was before. I'm getting things done. We're getting things done at home that needed to be done a while ago, whether it's rearranging furniture, getting things set up the way I want things set up, fixing stupid things like loose hinges on cabinets and, you know, getting things working correctly. So things are getting done at home. But I'm at the point where like I'm physically tired. My wife actually posted something on Facebook the other day that was like, and I don't know, Michael, if you've noticed this the couple times you've been around me, but it takes me a little bit to wind down and go to sleep typically.
I've not noticed that, but we usually hang out when we've just walked like 20,000 steps and had meeting after meeting. You usually can fall asleep pretty well during E3.
Yeah. So,
but you need ESPN to get you to sleep.
Yeah. And, so like it takes me, you know, anywhere 15, 20, 25 minutes to fall asleep when I decide to fall asleep. The other day, my wife said I fell asleep in like 4 minutes. Like I turned ESPN on or whatever. I covered myself up, turned myself sideways and put my head on my pillow and decided I was going to sleep. And she's like, then you were just asleep. And so I just sometimes like I'm actually doing less physical at work, but I'm just wondering if it's just taking its toll on me. And I just haven't had the adamant desire to come downstairs and play a video game. And I did not. I think I played 40 minutes of games last week, and that was just a little bit more frustration from my standpoint, and it was Destiny. I just signed on to play. I just needed a couple minutes to get away from everybody, and I was playing, and then she's like, hey, dinner's ready, so I stopped playing, and then I didn't come back down and play anything again. I did watch both Hot Shots movies, Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part 2, because it jumped into my head after that question from last week. I did watch both episodes of The Last Dance. I probably need to, again, it being so late at like later at night and with my schedule of going into work as early in the morning as I have been, I find myself a little bit more tired. So I usually have to watch the second one again. So I'll probably have to watch six again. Six wasn't as good as all the other ones. Episode six wasn't.
Which one was six? Because I finished up to eight.
It was the one after the Dream Team. It was after the Dream Team one, which I thought was fascinating, of like that game they played in against each other, of like Magic Johnson like and Larry Bird like all trash talking him. And then Six talked a little bit more about his competitive desire and him kind of like gambling with that quarter toss with the security.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's now famous.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a lot of interesting things there, and I love all the stuff that's surrounding Michael Jordan. So it's really cool just to see a little bit more into him. So it's not like it's bad. We watched Remember the Titans. I put that on. I think I watched like half of that, and then I ended up like essentially redoing my daughter's entire bedroom because her dresser broke. That changed into getting her two dressers and then a nightstand that went with it, and then making everything fit on the wall and taking off her stickers on the wall that she's had on her wall since she was like 12. And I'm like, why are we doing all this stuff when you're supposed to be leaving in September? And she's like, well, you don't know if I'm going anywhere in September. I'm like, oh, okay. So, I mean, that was the gist of my week. We did record our bonus episode, which was another evening of my time. Not an entire evening, but enough that I can't, you know, commit to sit down. And I'm not one of these guys that sits down and plays and can play video games for like 40 minutes or 30 minutes, or I'm going to play one level of this. Like, I usually like to sit down and play for a couple hours.
And I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I get what I can.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. Like, is like my office is completely separated from everything else. So it's not even like I could just BS with a game and be talking to Angela or talking to the kids, which is again, why Stadia is very interesting to me. But we'll see whatever turns out from any of that. So, I mean, that's kind of like my entire week. So, and the other thing that motivates me too is you guys as a community. So if there's something that you want to see, or if there's a game that you want to play and you think that I would have fun playing it with it, I own it, just message me or tweet at me, hit me up on Discord. If you're trying to do something, whether it's, you know, Ghost Recon or Destiny, or you want to play Streets of Rage, like on Game Pass, on PC, like any of that stuff, like just message me and that'll motivate me more than coming down here just to, you know, play a game or jump into a PSN party to see, you know, my friends are playing a different game that I either don't own or I don't want to play. I've seen a lot of people like playing Predator Hunting Grounds, which has intrigued me to want to buy it. Then I message a couple friends. I'm like, what do you think? Oh, it's the best 5 out of 10 I've played. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to like hate play a game just because my buddy has it. But I need more friends on Steam. I need more friends through Xbox, through the Xbox PC Game Pass app. So please just go ahead and add me on that stuff. It's good Dave hunting. And let's play some games. Like that'll kind of get me going off some things. I don't have any desire to dig into a single player story game right now, and I don't really know why.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat where I'm just like, well, this week I played like a decent amount of stuff, but like today I ended up just cleaning and then redoing the wires for my like home entertainment setup, just because I just
don't talk about it.
Saw like one of the cats get a ball stuck under the wires, and I'm just like, okay, I got zip ties from work. I'm just going to zip tie a bunch of these cables. So I ended up doing that and cleaning just because I didn't feel like sitting down and like playing a game today, but I have played a decent amount. So let me just go through my list. So me and Sarah are playing Man of Medan. I picked that up during one of the holiday sales, and we finished the game. We did like three sessions to finish it. It's like 4 to 6 hours. This is from the developers of Until Dawn, and this is game one of their anthology series, and game two is coming out, I want to say June or July. It's definitely this summer. But Man of Medan, you play as like five people who are hunting for a treasure, and they run across some pirates that kidnap them, and it's got spooky stuff in between it. It's really short, so I don't want to like spoil too much because people might want to get it, especially now that the second game's coming out. But it plays, you know, like Until Dawn did. You know, you're making decisions. There's a bunch of different ways the games can go. Characters can die, and that changes the story dramatically. Me and Sarah made our first playthrough with two of the characters dying. So two of the five characters died on us. We are playing it again to see if we can get it perfect. And we're like kind of breezing through it, especially after you beat the game. There's like a curator mode, and then there's also just chapter select, so we just like jumped right into the chapter where like decisions start to matter, which shaved probably like an hour off the game clock for us. So we're like halfway through our second playthrough. There's a ton of collectibles and opportunities to change the outcome. And it's interesting to see some of that play out. The only thing that is kind of a bummer is you can tell they're working with a smaller budget than they were with Until Dawn, because there's just a lack of polish.
Have the Sony money?
Yes, they don't have Sony money, so there's like a lack of polish where like the character models move a little stiff, like the animations just aren't fully there, and there's just like crazy texture popping. But I'm also playing on an OG PS4 because that's what's hooked up to my TV. So I don't know if like the pop-in will be fixed if I like used it on my Pro, but I know the animation stuff is going to get any better. So that's kind of a bummer, but it's still fun to play. And the rule with video games, if you're playing it co-op, it's going to be more fun. So me and Sarah are getting through that, and I showed her the trailer for the second game, so she's really excited for that one because it's like it looks like it's like kind of like a haunted town with like witches and stuff, as opposed to this one where it's just like you're on a ghost ship. So played that and finished it. Still playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, though the further we get into it, the more we're kind of just like, this isn't doing it for us. I got past like the terrible bike mission, where you're just riding on your motorcycle, fighting people, and it went forever. That mission was such a bummer how long it took. And we got out of that, did the boss fight a little bit after that. The thing that's keeping me entertained the most is just deciding who I like better for Cloud, Jesse or Tifa, like who I would want Cloud to end up with. And the conclusion probably is Cloud doesn't deserve either one of them. So in my fanfic, I'm just going to ship Tifa and Jesse either together or just find someone better than Cloud. And then last week I was looking to buy three games: Moving Out, Streets of Rage 4, and Hyperdot. I was looking at it and it's like, I think Streets of Rage and Moving Out are like $25, and then Hyperdot's like $10, I think. And I was really close to just buying those on PS4 and Switch. And then I saw all three games are out on Game Pass on PC and Xbox. So that saved me a ton of money. So I ended up downloading all three of those games on Game Pass. I only played two of them. The first one is Hyperdot. It's a really simple game. You just control a dot and you're just moving away from hazards. So there'll be like patterns going at you, homing missiles, and different things to try and throw you off. Like there could be a level where it's like super dark and your dot has just a limited light source to reveal like the play field. And I'm enjoying that. I played that at BitBash last year, and I played it as a multiplayer game with like four other people, and that was real fun. I'm looking forward to playing this as a multiplayer game once I can have people over. So looking forward to that. Right now there's just like dozens and dozens of like just preset like you know, like almost like puzzle like levels for you to do. So I'm going through those. It's really quick. Like each level takes like at the most like 15 to 20 seconds. So I'm like burning through that. And then game I probably put the most time into from my Game Pass pickup is Streets of Rage 4, which I think, Dave, you're in the same boat as me, right? Where you were going to potentially buy Streets of Rage 4 and then you saw it was on Game Pass?
Yeah, I was thinking about it and like I was seeing some hype around it. Some of my friends were playing it, obviously on PlayStation, and I was thinking, I was trying to see if that was going to spark anything. I didn't know it had co-op.
Yeah,
I wasn't really paying attention to it, but then it's on Games Pass, and it's like, okay, why would I buy it?
Yeah, especially it's like $25, I think, yeah. Which I think was a little too high.
We didn't really talk about it either, but this just, it reminded me, like Phil Spencer had an earnings call, Xbox had an earnings call, and they talked about it. There's 10 million subscribers to Game Pass.
Because it's a really good service, yeah. So it's probably doing pretty well for them.
But considering like how many consoles that are out there, that's a really damn good attach rate. Based on how many consoles are perceived to be out there.
Which would be like what? I think the estimate's like 50 to 60 million?
That's like a 20% attach rate, which is really high. Yeah, yes, yes, I know PC is in there as well, you know. Because like I have Game Pass and I don't have an Xbox.
But damn, has Game Pass made me look at Xbox sales a little bit more thoroughly. I'm still like, I think the next time the all digital one goes on super cheap, I might just pick one up. Just instead of picking up an Xbox Series X, just because, you know, I'm not going to get the best version of some games, but Game Pass is so good.
But again, if you don't have the TVs and the monitors to take advantage of what the latest Xbox does, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the only thing you have to worry about is, like, bad frame rate, but as long as it's consistent, I can deal with low frame rate as long as it's consistent. But, yeah, so Streets of Rage 4, picked it up on Xbox Game Pass PC. The Streets of Rage 2 is one of my earliest gaming memories, so I was interested in 4. The combat is really good. I've liked the things they've added, like just simple things, just how the power-ups work and like the ultimate abilities, just having the ability to like just punch behind you so you don't like interrupt your combo. You like, if someone's sneaking up behind you, they won't combo break or break you unless, you know, if you do the back hit. I'm enjoying the way it plays. I love the way it looks. The game kind of reminds me of like the old Grand Theft Auto game loading screens. Like that art style like looks very similar to like how those GTA 3 and San Andreas like loading screens looked. I don't know if that's just me that sees it that way, but as soon as I saw that, I immediately got a flash of like the GTA concept art load screens for whatever reason. Playing that, I'm like stage five or six at this point. I'll probably end up finishing it soon. I do plan to stream it this week. The only disappointment, I heard so many people talking about how good the music is, and it's okay. Like, I was kind of, because people that, you know, had it for review were talking about how much they love the music, and they got some of the original composers to do guest tracks on it, and that sounded cool, but when I was playing it with the headphones on, I was just, it wasn't doing anything for me musically. It's not bad. It's passable. It's good, but I'm one of those people that, like, if I really like a soundtrack, Dave's probably heard me say this a lot. If I like a soundtrack, I am downloading that soundtrack and I'm listening to it outside the game for a while. I think I said that about a game like a week or two ago for In Other Waters. I downloaded that soundtrack, or like, I play it on YouTube because I'm cheap. And the soundtrack, despite everyone hyping it up, it just wasn't doing it for me, which is just kind of a shame, just because it's Streets of Rage. I love those soundtracks. But other than that, like, I'm enjoying it. I haven't really messed with the like online experience. I'll probably, maybe me and Dave will hop on this week and try and get a game going online. It's funny, between Hyperdot, Streets of Rage 4, and then a game I didn't play but I downloaded, Moving Out, it got me to order a 15-foot HDMI cable so I can plug it in my PC to my TV, because that's about...
He's going to dual monitor his computer because his office space has been taken up by his work from home.
Yeah, I bought a 15-foot cable. I'm just like, I want to play these games on the couch. I want to play them co-op with Sarah, but like my desk space, just the idea of both of us is like sitting.
Does the PC support plugging two separate controllers into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how I played, this doesn't sound weird, that's how I got my friends to play Genital Jousting.
Genitals with two controllers.
Yeah. We just plugged in a bunch of DualShock controllers into it. I still wish more games would switch the inputs to show the PlayStation buttons. Yeah. When you plug it in, I don't understand how Stadia can be smart enough to detect that and change that. Octodad, which was an independent game made like 6 or 7 years ago, could detect if you had an Xbox or a PlayStation controller plugged in, but other games just don't put the effort into like controller inputs.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, it can't be that complicated. Octodad was able to do it. That wasn't, like, a big budget game. Like, come on. And then, so that's it for what I've played. I try to play a game that I got some codes for me and Dave to try out, Title Shock. The game is officially out now, but when I was trying to play it during its, like, beta period the last week or so, there's just no games. I can't find, like, any games.
Okay, good. I don't feel bad for not playing it yet, then.
Oh, yeah, no, you would have waited forever. They, to mitigate this, they have put, like, hey, developers are playing from this time, and if you're in North America, these are the peak hours. So I'm hoping I can get some time in with that, but, like, trying to play a game based on peak hours it doesn't sound great for me, because when I play games, I don't want to...
Well, it's concerning off the bat if they have to release peak hours for their game, because it just means that there's not a whole lot of people playing it. Obviously, it was in a beta standpoint, and hopefully the player base gets better with post-beta.
Yeah, so it's officially out, I think, this week, or maybe late last week, but... It kind of bummed me out because I'm interested in it. It's like an underwater, like, 8-on-8 or 4-on-4 competitive shooter that just looked kind of silly, but in a good way. So I'm hoping now that it's, like, officially out, or it's been a week since it's been out, I forget which, that more people are in it and I can find some matches outside of peak hours. Just because the peak hours are, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just don't play games, like, that early, you know, in the afternoon. On my PC, at least, because my PC is being used as a work from home station. So it's kind of a bummer that I couldn't get any games in. But I'm going to try and stream during one of their, like, peak hour sessions and see where that goes. But I have a feeling I'm going to be playing a different game during that, because I'm planning to try and stream it on Friday. Then other than that, just watching The Last Dance, I finished the first 8 episodes. I usually don't like watching things that are bootleg or leaked, but or with a watermark, because the thing I'm watching has a big watermark in the middle. Oh my which God. Is kind of a...
How are you watching that?
It's not that bad. This is property of ESPN Films in the middle, and it's see-through. But so basically what I've been doing when I'm watching it is I like took the jackets off my stationary bike, which was just a coat rack the last couple months, and I just put an episode on my Fire tablet and then just cycle until the episode's over, and I've been doing that, like, every day since all the 8 episodes leaked.
Good for you, man. That's good.
Yeah. But now I'm out of episodes. But now I'm out of episodes.
So how did 1-8 leak, but 9 and 10 didn't?
I don't know. So it's because it says property of ESPN Films, I'm assuming it's a screener. So they probably gave reviewers the first 8 episodes, and then one of those reviewers just...
I hope that means 9 and 10 are really, really good.
I do too.
I mean, like, I'm not saying so it's good. Bad, but I mean, it's kind of getting to the point where it's like, it could be it could be that it's a 10-part thing, like that I could be having a problem with. It could be that it's being staggered over, 5 weeks. It could be that, all the COVID stuff. I mean, it could be 100 things, but, like, at 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, I'm hyped to watch The Last Dance. By like 10:20 or 10:30, I'm like, I want to go to bed. Like,
I kind of wish they made it just like a 10-day thing where they just did 10 days in a row, one episode a night.
Well, they could, but man, I mean, just from a marketing standpoint, like last 2 weeks ago, they had an interview with Isaiah Thomas on ESPN's Get Morning Show the next morning. They had Magic Johnson on this week. I mean, they don't have anything else. They're going full bore with whatever they get. Like, this is Sunday night football for them, and then they're analyzing it with Monday morning quarterback stuff. Like,
I was like thinking, like, what other teams would you want to see get this sort of breakdown? Obviously, it won't be as good as the Bulls.
I want to see a Tom Brady one, out of all the stuff that he's gone through, like the fumble and the Spygate and Deflategate, and whether you think they happened or didn't happen, like. I want to see, 20 years from now, some behind the stuff about Brady and then obviously his departure, like leaving New England to go to Tampa Bay. And then like that would be like super, super interesting to me. For me, they've done a little bit on the Red Wings, like the Russian 5 players that they had, they've done some stuff on that. That would be like really cool. And then just some of these other teams that were supposed to be built as like these super teams that just didn't pan out. Like, I don't,
that's what I'm,
yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but like the Philadelphia Eagles like signed everybody and then they like the only won like six games.
I've been so obsessed with SB Nation and Legend of Winning YouTube channels because they've got like series about like franchises that went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Legend of Winning's had how the Knicks wasted like 40 first round draft picks over the last 20 years. And SB Nation had a good one of how John Stockton and Karl Malone went like their whole careers without a title, despite being like two of the best players historically.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of fascinated, especially watching the Bulls documentary. I kind of want to see like the ashes that the Bulls left behind of all these like super, not super teams, but just like,
I'd love to see something on like the Houston Rockets during that 2 year run when Jordan wasn't in the league, you know?
Yeah. The Bulls shut the Pistons down. Pistons were super dominant. If it wasn't for the Bulls, the Pistons probably would have had like a longer run as like the top team. And then Houston's interesting because they won two in a row and then the Bulls came back and shit was gone. You know, like Charles Barkley had a great run. The Utah Jazz, you know, like there's so many teams that I would just love to see that were just like devastated by the Bulls that they probably are deserving of their own documentary.
The other one I would love to see would be a Tiger Woods documentary.
Oh God, yeah.
It's been long enough, all the way up, from like his time as like 16 years old until, you know, when everything hit the fan, and then his rise again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, that last episode of just being like, man, if shit didn't go bad for him, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's so many that I would love to see.
All right. Did you play or watch anything else?
No, so I'm in the third season of Breaking Bad now.
Oh.
But going through that again. And I just want to say, like, in season three, when I don't know if you've seen Breaking Bad or not, but not someone will probably. Okay. Gus is a big drug cartel person, and he's courting the main character to work for him, and it is the most romantic like courtship I think I've ever seen. Like, it's almost beautiful. I mean, it's a drug dealer distributor trying to get someone to make drugs for himself, but for some reason when I was watching it with Sarah, I'm like, this is like the most romantic thing I've ever seen, which is probably not what you're supposed to take away from it, but I just saw it and I'm just like, man, he really wants him to work for him, and it's beautiful.
Awesome.
So maybe that's just quarantine talking and I'm just like getting too invested into shows, but that was what I took away from season three of Breaking Bad. But that is it from me.
All right, we're gonna jump into our questions and comments. You can send us questions using hashtag Ask Digital Days. You can put them on the Facebook page, post them in the Facebook group, post them on the Discord. We have a channel for Ask Digital Days. All of those links are in the show notes below, so you can click on that. If the Discord link is expired again, please tell me, somebody, anybody. Thank you, Joel, last time for telling me that. Matt Lowe post on Facebook, I bought Streets of Rage 4 this week. Not tried it yet, but looking forward to maybe a new heavy character available. What is your typical play style in beat-em-ups or in general? Heavy, speedy, average build, or average builds? He loves Jack from the Tekken series. So in general, like the first thing that pops to mind in this question is playing video games at a lot of media events and having people watch you, you get some very immediate feedback when you're playing a game, and especially if you're playing something a certain way or not a certain way. And I always get that, wow, you're a hyper-aggressive player. and I like to move fast, as fast as I think I can, and I kind of like to be up in the face of people. So, like, if I can use a shotgun in a game, like, that's kind of, like, what I like to use. If I can, you know, again, like, contribute to Destiny, like, playing as a Titan in Destiny, punching a lot of things, shoulder charging a lot of things, and just like, even when my friends are playing even games with me, like I'm not a very strategic person. I kind of just run into something headfirst.
So when it comes to like shooters, I'm the same way. I kind of like a shotgun. During my Killzone days, I was notorious for just having the shotgun and just barreling through people. When it comes to like beat 'em ups, I kind of go for the average build, even though that's kind of boring. But I hate the things you lose out by going for the speedy character. You know, you pick the speedy character, you're gonna lose strength. You go for the strength character, you're gonna lose speed. Yeah. So for beat 'em ups, I tend to just go right down the middle and pick the average build.
Yeah, there's nothing more annoying than having to punch something 6 times when you can use a different character and punch them twice.
Yeah, or it, when occasionally a game will ask for some precision and you pick the tank character and you just can't move fast enough.
Yeah.
So I tend to lean towards the average build for beat 'em ups and fighters.
I also feel like some of the games have lost that ability now to figure a way out to make a tank viable but not feel punished because you can't be precision, or a speedy character viable because of precision but being punished because you can't be in the fray. They used to always have like this great like give and take, like, well, you can't do this, but I could be like, well, yeah, but I can do this, and you can't do that, but then somebody else could say, but I can do this. And I feel like there's you can't do it, no, you're right, I can't, so I just wait for you to do it. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, like I notice that a lot with like fighting games that have huge rosters. You just kind of run into that issue where this roster's too big for them to balance properly. Overwatch, like if we leave the genre again, has the characters all seem to be able to hold up pretty well, but you still run into those instances where it's just like, I just can't defend against this. Mm-hmm. So I can't, and I gotta hope one of my teammates can bail me out. But yeah, no, I totally know what you mean by that. Last question, Tuck, we got a couple more questions, but I'm going to save them for next week. Just, ration out some questions,
but keep sending the questions, guys. Like, yes, keep, please. Keep sending the questions.
Yeah. Jacob, Blaker asks, do you see a resurgence of zombie post-apocalyptic games becoming a thing because of Corona, or will it be more like Animal Crossing / Bob Ross painting tree games?
I definitely don't. I hope that we don't see a resurgence of it. Not that it bothered me before, but I'm just waiting. I'm really curious to see what the next kind of cool thing would be. And I hope it wouldn't be something like that. And I think that at least from my perspective, is like if you brought something out, if this week's Series X event, you know, a brand new IP is in it, it takes place in another post-apocalyptic world where you're fighting against some form of whatever they want to call their zombies, I'm gonna just be bored. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, do you think the developers of Metro are happy they got their game out last year?
Probably.
Like, can you imagine like playing a Metro game right now? Just like being in that world, where it's like can't be without your face mask outside, and gotta ration all your supplies. Like,
I also feel like in the next 4 to 5 months, if you announce a game like that, it would be really bad political or public relations optics, not political. Sorry. Yeah. But like, oh, you're just capitalizing on what the people just lived through, and you're trying to market it around a video game now. Like, what kind of I just really bad optics.
We're going to test The Last of Us will be a good way to test
that. And the best thing it has going for it is that it already has a world established.
Yes, so like games that already have that established as their theme will probably have a better time than a brand new IP trying to touch on things, because
I think
the general consensus is gonna be like, you're releasing this game now, and they won't care that it's been in development for 3 to 4 years. They're just gonna be like, that is out now. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what like the impact like 9/11 had on certain games.
Yeah.
And movies.
Yeah. I don't know if it necessarily is going to lead to more Animal Crossing style or Bob Ross like gentle games, like Jacob put. I wouldn't mind it. Like, holy crap. I was talking to Sarah, like, Animal Crossing coming out during this time was so great. not only for Nintendo to release it to where it was like it took over everything, but just for me and her, because it's just been like a nice game to play during all this. Because I can't imagine, like, I'm kind of glad Last of Us was delayed a couple times, because man, if you told me I was going to be playing Last of Us next week, I would both be excited and exhausted at the idea. Like,
yeah, I'm hoping that I'm out of whatever kind of funk, like really out, like fully out of whatever kind of funk I'm in, because I know it's not going to happen like right away. So.
Yeah, I was going through my library of PS4 games because I have a huge backlog, and I'm just looking at the games of just like, can I do it? And you know, I'm just looking at games like, no, that's too heavy. No, that's post-apocalyptic, and I'm just like kind of drained with certain games.
That's why, like, I feel like I wanted to watch Hot Shots because I just wanted to laugh for a little bit. Like, is my daughter's like, this movie is stupid. I go, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the same reason I fell down and binged a whole season of All American, because like it just kind of like removed you from the world, which is what sports and video games used to do for me, and for some reason they're just not scratching that itch right now. Sports obviously isn't, because it's not existent, and video games, I don't have the answer to why it's not right now. I don't want anybody to think I'm disinterested or like quitting video games. Like, I go through these phases of fatigue before. I've done it before, but usually
I've known you enough, a
review would, you know, spark something or something cool would happen, and it's just not happening right now.
Yeah, so, I am gonna pull a question.
I'm getting some new accessories from somebody. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like not that I can keyboard and mouse, but I might have a new gaming keyboard soon. So that might, you know, get me to start tinkering with some stuff.
Yeah, I need to get a new mouse. My mouse is. I told you when I was playing Valorant, I realized that the cheap mouse I bought off Amazon is a cheap mouse that I bought off Amazon. I'm gonna pull a question from chat. Just why I remember. So Savage 0118 asked, when playing a game that allows you to change the character's name, what was your go-to name, or did you just use the default name it provided?
I would always just use my own name.
I
can't be that person that's like, oh, where are you going, person that carries balls in hand.
Yeah, so I usually would default the names. There was a while where I thought it was funny putting just MJC when it would make no sense for like certain games. Sarah's the type that she will look up names that are appropriate for the setting of the game, and if it takes place during a certain time period, change her name to reflect that time period. And I kind of got into doing that, to where I just look for like the equivalent of Michael for that world and time period, which is kind of silly, but it's just something that I've been doing.
I feel like that you were just now. Miguel a lot then.
No, Mikhail. Okay. was a thing for a little bit, and now that like games are so rich with lore, there's like a Skyrim name generator, Elder Scrolls name generator, and you can put your name and it'll spit something back at you.
Wow. Okay.
There was for a while I would use the Wu-Tang name generator just for fun and just put my name in a Wu-Tang name generator, give whatever it spits out, and it would always be ridiculous. And then just use that. Let me see.
This is taking place in the personality test this week, is like Michael's inputting names into the Wu-Tang generator.
So Dave Hunt, your Wu-Tang clan name would be Paul Illusion.
Okay,
so you got to use that next for
like illusion, like ILLUSION.
Oh, Paul Illusional.
Illusional.
Yes, that is your Wu-Tang clan name, and that is now what you need to use for your next RPG. Mine is Venturer Chromatic. So yeah, those are our Wu-Tang clan names, all right. And you got to use that for your next RPG.
All right, so that is our show this week. So last week we found out what kind of Powerpuff, what is it called?
Powerpuff.
God damn it. Yeah. Character I would be. And then this week you find out what kind of Wu-Tang names Michael and I have. So yeah. Again, all of our social links are in the show notes. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, like the page, join the group, join Discord, be involved in the conversation, reach out if you want to play video games. I know there's you guys, some of you guys have a lot of time on your hands. Some of you are doing some, you know, some of you are still working. I hope everyone is staying safe. I hope everyone is staying healthy. I hope everyone is following the rules as best as they can in the areas that they live in. And just please just take care of yourselves. Again, we released a bonus Patreon episode if you are part of the $7 tier. If you're not, you should probably check it out maybe if you want. But please, again, do not support us on Patreon unless you're financially able to. That is you supporting us and hurting your finances is not important to us. Your listenership and sharing the show and reviewing if you can is the easiest ways that you guys can help support us. And if you are financially able to support us at Patreon at any of the tiers, we love and appreciate that. Like every month, like when we cash out Twitch or look at Patreon, it's humbling and cool to know that those are things that we can use to improve some things for releasing more and more content for you guys. And we're learning how to do more things all the time. We're throwing out ideas for even just bonus content in general, not even behind the Patreon wall. So if there's, you know, like Michael doing some more wrestling stuff, me doing some other in-depth conversation roundtable stuff with some people. So there's some things we're working on. I think that I might have a guest for next week. I don't want to say for sure yet. So please keep a, you know, eye on social media. If I can get him on, it's a pretty cool get, and I think a lot of you will really like it, but I'm not going to jinx it. So, but it would be a very fun conversation on the heels of coming out of the Xbox third party reveal. So, you know, again, follow us on Twitch if you're not following us, so you can know when we go live for our weekly shows. You can know when Michael goes live for his streams, when I go live for my streams. He's going to be a little bit more scheduled. I'm going to be a little bit more, hey, I feel like playing this game right now. I'm going to stream it. That's kind of how I work. but please just, again, stay safe. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that we're able to provide that mental escape for you guys for the last hour and a half-ish to get you away from whatever you've got going on in the world. But that's all I got. You got anything else, Michael?
No. Next week, hopefully Title Shock and maybe some other things pop up. But thank you all for listening, subscribing, and sharing the episodes.
Again, hope everyone has a great week and keep moving forward. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Stream is still live.